Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand. Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, Facebook Live and listen live, rodpeterson.com. In studio with me here in the Rod Peterson Show in beautiful Regina, Saskatchewan, CTV's Don Hewitt and longtime CFL scout personnel man, Craig Smith. Sports update. The last game of the NHL season happens tonight when St. Louis and Boston face off for Game 7 of the Stanley Cup. The Bruins thumped the Blues on the road 5-1 in Game 6 to force the series back to Boston's TD Garden. Home ice advantage is what teams play for in the regular season, but the Bruins are just 7-5 at home in the playoffs. Still above 500. Toronto's Edwin Jackson might have the matchup he needs to get his first win of the season. Jackson has struggled to get on track and is 0-4 with the Blue Jays. He's 6-1 in 11 career games against Baltimore. That's who they face tonight. The Orioles host the second game of a three-game set after taking the opener 4-2 last night. Kevin Glenn announcing his retirement from the CFL on this show after 18 Hall of Fame seasons on his 40th birthday. Thank you, Kevin. Salute. And I guess I need to get on because we're so big in Norway. That's where the majority of our USA's number two for viewers and then Norway number three. For outside, Norway faces host France today at the Women's World Cup. So go Norway. That's our sports update. So, Don, I read your column. I love it. You're letting it buck on there, too, I noticed. Not afraid to say that Chris Jones didn't leave this team in good shape in Saskatchewan quarterback-wise. Am I right in that?
Well, I mean, Jeremy O'Day basically had to build, as we talked about the cupboard, he had to build the cupboard back up, which I think he's done a pretty good job of. I mean, when O'Day took over the team on, I believe it was the 18th of January, he had David Watford. And as I said in my on the CTV Regina website, I mean, you know, what was he going to do with that situation? Well, he was going to go after Bo Levi, whatever. So what he had to do was exactly what I felt he had to do is exactly what he did. He's going to bring back Caleros and give him a better atmosphere and a better situation and a better offensive line. And he's going to try to find a couple of young quarterbacks like the Rough Riders did in 2006 when Darian Durant came along, and they haven't done since. He's going to try to find a couple of young quarterbacks that can maybe lead this team someday to the Grey Cup. So, to me, Jones was too piecemeal. O'Day has a plan. Jones was a great defensive coordinator, unbelievable defensive mind. He certainly could be a defensive coordinator in the NFL as far as I'm concerned. He is a pretty good head coach, but his general manager sort of aptitudes, I wouldn't give him the highest of marks, really, where he didn't sort of have a plan. He was just trying to do one season at a time, where O'Day's now got a couple of quarterbacks that maybe we can see do something in the future. So I really like sort of the direction that the team is going in now with Dickinson and O'Day. I think it's better for the future in the way they're sort of thinking about things. And I like it. And, you know, would Chris Jones, would he have brought in a quarterback from the Colorado School of Mines?
Probably not.
I mean, he liked the bigger
names. He brought
names.
In Vince Young.
He liked the bigger names. He liked the bigger schools. And, well, guess what? We all know where Ron Lancaster came from, Edinburgh College. That says it all. Craig knows more about this than I do, but you can find
Wittenberg.
Wittenberg.
The Wizard of Wittenberg.
Okay, Wittenberg. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Yep. Met his wife there. Met
did
Bev.
You?
Yeah. No, Ronnie did.
That's right, yeah. Wittenberg College. So thankfully, Craig was here to correct me. But the point is there, Craig. I mean, you can find some good athletes even at Division II schools,
many,
right?
Many of the quarterbacks that have had success in our league aren't the big school guys. And, you know, that's just the way it is in our league. Our league is such an amazing league with regards to football. You know, you come up here. Well, look what Manziel said. I had trouble with that 12th guy. You know, a guy that had won the Heisman and, you know, had so much success. I watched him. I scouted him. I was at the Cotton Bowl one year and sitting in that wonderful stadium in the press box and watching him and going, wow, this kid would be very. And that's the thing. When you're scouting, there's so many guys that you look at and you think this kid could be very good. I'll never forget watching Michael Bishop years ago. Thinking, man, that guy.
Everybody thought that.
Yeah, that, but you know, this was young. This one, he was young, and you know, you could see the tools. But so many guys come up here. Remember Joe 747 Adams?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that guy could throw. You know, mobility and all that kind of stuff. And you know, it just takes the right guy. Ricky Ray. If you took a look at his film, you'd probably go, oh, I don't know about that guy.
Mm.
And
crazy.
He's a Hall of Famer. He's one of the better ones that ever could throw. His ball would just arc in there, and you go, how the hell did he do that? King of the corner route. He the Grey Cup and against Montreal. We're going to throw the corner route. they could tell him, and Tucker would run the corner route. Ricky would throw it, and they'd score the touchdown. I mean, it's incredible. Where did Ricky Ray go? I mean, it wasn't a big school, you know. So that's just
Sacramento State.
Sac State. And, you know, it's quarterback is a funny thing, and look at Strevler. Strevler came up from South Dakota.
So is he going to be what everybody thinks he's going to be?
I think he will. You know, I had a hand in that. You know, I saw him play a few games and then sent an email to Danny McManus. And he's got what it takes, I do believe. You know, he's got that mobility. He can throw. Man, a strong runner. Holy cow. Just when I saw him play, he reminded me of Dunnigan. But he's bigger than Dunnigan. And he's strong, and you know, so it'll be interesting to see.
He can throw? Can he throw?
He can throw. Yeah, he can throw. He's got that weird motion, you know, where there's no windup, but there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, Marino always, you know, threw from his helmet and had that quick release, and Strevler does the same thing. You know, it's kind of funny to watch him.
But, well, this is why, Smitty, that you're on this show, by the way, and you have an open invite whenever you want, because I'm loving this discussion right now, and I think a lot of our fans do. You've become a viewer, Don, rather than a participant. I can see you just sitting back and listening to Craig.
Oh, I like but listening to
I love,
Craig.
I think great, anybody watching right now would love what Craig's saying. And do you remember that time we did that show in Hooters in Bradenton, Florida? You came down there.
I'll never forget.
Yeah. What did you love about that?
I overstayed my welcome, I know.
No, you didn't. Murray McCormick overstayed his welcome, but you didn't.
I, you know, it's funny because I had been scouting the Florida teams.
Yes, you had.
And I drove up for that and sat there, and we're sitting at Hooters and technical difficulty. You remember that? There were some problems with the line or
was
something.
Was that
like
purposely
that.
Done, the technical difficulties?
Well, I don't know.
Hooters?
I'm not sure.
Hang around longer?
It happened far more regularly than I would have liked. But continue.
I had a great time. We talked football, and it was in the warmth. And, you know, we had just finished. I think we were finishing or
wrapping up.
We were wrapping up, yeah. So. Yeah, that's the best.
It was just a visit like this. Like, we weren't even on the radio, but we were talking football.
Talking football.
So, the Chris Jones thing, this is what I love about the Riders. This is what I love about our fans. We'll be talking about this forever. You know we will, right? His era. They still talk about Ruben Berry around here 40 years later.
I want to move on.
We're going to be talking. We're not going to move on because they don't move on. That's not what we do. But, Smitty, because you've been in the guts of it, you know how it works. Is it not too big of a job to be coach and GM of any pro team? There's not one NHL guy doing it. There were.
Well,
Patrick Waugh and Dave Tippett were like the last two in Colorado and Phoenix. Nobody does it anymore. Belichick, I don't even think, is both in New England. I get that the coach will say what players he wants, but he's not actively overseeing the scouting. I don't think Belichick is. Jones ran everything. And is it not too much of a job?
I think it is. You know, I think it takes a special person. And I think Wally was probably so good at it where he could coach, he could put on the general manager hat, and he could do what he needed to do with regards to that. When we were doing film, with regards to Canadian college guys, he would get us into the room and we'd all watch film together. He was involved. He was looking, look at this guy, you know, like the way he would, you know, look at that, I don't like him, you know. He was involved in that kind of stuff. He had an excellent eye for talent. And he's the first guy to say, you know, I had a good player personnel guy. And I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Roy Shivers and Bob Obilovich. I'll never forget, we were in a Dallas airport, and we were going up the escalator. And that's essentially what he said. Craig, you know, he said, I've had success, but, you know, it's a lot because of Roy and because of Bob. You know, he was the first guy to say, you know, it was other guys. Now, having said that, I mean, he was an amazing coach. He was an amazing person with regards to dealing with people. And I only seen him get mad once. It was Grey Cup 2004. And Jacques ran something. And Wally just jumped him like a son of a gun. I never had seen that before with Wally. I went, holy cow. It was incredible. He just jumped on him and, you know, I told you not to run that. And, you know, it was incredible. It was an amazing thing.
And Wally was probably right.
Wally was probably right. And
yeah.
But it takes a different person, I think, to do all that.
John Hufnagel could do it too. Here's another.
Yet he's not even doing it anymore.
You know, Hufnagel, I admire that guy so much. It's amazing what that guy, he went in 2008, quickly won a Grey Cup.
Crazy.
Quickly, you know, they've been on top for so many years. I mean, I take pride, you know, when we were with the Riders, we went in there and beat them twice. The final, and we went in there and did the job. So, and that's an accomplishment, man.
I don't think he gets Hufnagel, Craig and Rod. I don't think he's ever gotten the credit he deserves. He's the best general manager in the league.
So hang on.
He's Donnie, the best GM in the league.
Pause.
Yeah.
They're telling me we need to take a commercial, and I want to get into that next because we got all these viewers in Calgary. 1 in 10 of our viewers is in Calgary.
Really? Rider fans.
And Stamps fans. Yeah, okay. They've actually written in and said, we don't get talk like this in Calgary, so can you keep it up? They're Stamps fans watching this show. So let's get into that next after the break. Calgary coverage coming up. And if you're a fan of any other CFL team who would like us to talk about it, we're done with Montreal for a while, though. But any other team, fire it up on the Facebook feed. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now back to your host, Rod Peterson.
We're back. Breaking news in the country. Justin Trudeau has named it Kevin Glenn Day in Canada. Kevin Glenn announcing on this program he's retiring from the CFL after 18 Hall of Fame seasons. He did it on his 40th birthday. First class guy, next stop Hall of Fame. Thank you, Kevin Glenn, for including us in that announcement. The Stanley Cup champion will be crowned tonight when the St. Louis Blues and Boston Bruins face off in Game 7. Boston forced the deciding game at TD Garden with a 5-1 road victory over St. Louis on Sunday night. The Bruins 7-5 at home during the playoffs. It is a 6 p.m. face-off tonight on the CBC. One more day of preparation for the Toronto Raptors and Golden State Warriors. The NBA Finals resume tomorrow night in Oakland. The Raps lead the best-of-seven series 3-2, but the Warriors earned a 106-105 win in Toronto on Monday night. They're expecting 20,000 people at Mosaic Stadium Thursday night to watch first the Riders at the Ticats, overlapping with the Golden State Warriors, home to the Toronto Raptors. And I'm thinking I'm going to go. I'm thinking this is a life-changing moment. And Edwin Jackson chases his first win of the season when the Toronto Blue Jays continue their series in Baltimore against the Orioles. Jackson 0-4 with Toronto this season, but his career 6-1 against the O's. And that's the morning sports update. In studio with me, CTV's Don Hewitt and longtime CFL scout, two-time Grey Cup champion Craig Smith. A word on the Raptors, gentlemen. Smitty, you love all sports. You must be just thrilled watching this Raptors run.
Yeah, it's incredible. And I was telling my wife yesterday, you know, I remember going scouting in Oregon, and Neil McAvoy and I were on a treadmill. We're watching the Raptors playoffs with Bosch and Carter. You know, we were hyped up back then, and then so many years, you know, of nothing. Mm-hmm. And then some years that, you know, you think that they're going to do well, and they lose. You know, they lose so early. But now, it's just an incredible thing. I wish they could have hit just a couple more shots right near
and
the
end. Like,
oh, and it would be over.
Yeah. Well, and then there's that foul on Gasol that they should have called. And the way he was shooting, you know, at the charity stripe, they probably would have put both in, and that was 40 seconds to go. And
Much is being talked about in officiating in the Stanley Cup playoffs and the NBA playoffs. Is it too much? I'm not sure I have an opinion on it right now, but we've seen officiating affect the outcome of games in critical moments in both leagues. NFL, too. Let's go back to the conference championship game. Rams Saints. Guys, as the sports guy and the sports reporter, what's going to be done about this? And we'll get to the Stamps talk, but what needs to be done about this?
Boy, that's a real good question, because I don't know how you can miss those calls. I don't know how they could miss the call in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
That takes the team away from the Super Bowl. They get that ball, what was it, at the 8-yard line? And chances are they're going to win. That changes history. But it happened. Then, the other night, I'm watching that hockey game, and I see that trip, and I'm thinking, oh, there's a trip. They didn't call it? What?
And then they scored?
And then they score? Yeah. You know, I'm cheering for St. Louis. I mean, I would like to see them win, but wow, that was unreal. And how do you change it? How do you miss those calls? I mean, I wouldn't want to be a ref for any money, because I think it's just one of the most difficult things.
Me either.
Things.
I know why. No idea why you would want to do that. I've done it. It's not fun.
No. It's tough, but I don't know. It's who knows?
I think basically if you go down to field level, even if you went down to field level at a Rough Rider game, it's so much faster on ice, on field, on court. And obviously the officials just are missing things because these athletes are so much faster. So you just have to go to a video review, get the technology for video review faster, quicker, as much as you can, and you go from there. I mean, I don't think you know, there's anything worse from what I've seen, as far as I'm concerned. It's the NHL officiating that's the worst.
Really bad.
And I think Gary Bettman has done a heck of a job for the NHL owners on the business side. I don't think Gary Bettman's really got his act together, having the right people running officiating in the NHL.
Now you're getting into one of my favorite topics.
Yeah, I mean,
Gary does not understand the game of hockey.
No, he doesn't.
You can't have a commissioner that doesn't understand the sport that he's the commissioner of. I'm sorry.
No, that's you hit the nail on the head. And he's got all these former tough guys and always has had former tough guys around him running officiating. How about a Lady Bing winner? What would happen if he came in and ran officiating? Things might get a whole pile better. So I think Gary feels that rough hockey, sometimes violent hockey, sells. And he cares about the bottom line of the dollar. And the right guy has never run officiating in NHL since he's been the commissioner.
Right. So back to that Calgary talk. Good morning, Calgary and beautiful southern Alberta. I was hoping to head out there this weekend, but... a health crisis in my family's prevented that, but we'll get out there, Calgary, this summer at some point. John Huffnagel, the question was, does he get enough credit as the man running the Calgary Stampeders for the past now 12 seasons? The obvious answer is no. Yep. I mean, if he was running this franchise here,
that's right.
Like he'd be literally on a pedestal. They would be building the statue right now before his career's even over. And interestingly enough, the Riders at one time reached out to Huffnagel over the last 12 years when they had an opening, and he said, no thanks, not interested. Loves Calgary, loves the organization.
He does.
Everything. Anybody who lives in Calgary loves Calgary. I get it. I love going to Calgary. But it's his choice to stay there, right?
Yep.
The only thing isn't, I talked about this the other day, Huff and I have had these talks. That's the one thing I'm going to miss. I hope that I can get back out on the road or at these functions where I can have these discussions with the Kevin Glenns of the world and the John Huffnagels of the world, where, you know, Huff thinks the Canadian Football Hall of Fame should be in Saskatoon because he thinks it's a non-CFL market, but there's huge CFL fans there. That was Huff's suggestion. But he just said, our fans in Calgary are every bit as passionate as your fans. We just don't have as many of them. And I don't know, Smitty, that's not a team you work for. Well, your best friend's the voice of the Stampeders, so I want to take of your thoughts here. What would it take in Calgary? Clearly, winning isn't getting it done. And I'm way off on a tangent here. You talk about Huff and then take, you know, answer the other question.
Yeah, I can't speak for Calgary people. I have no idea what they're thinking. All I know is I respect that man as much as anybody in our league and what he's done, the way he does things with regards to player personnel, you know, things like that, is just every year it's the same thing. You know, just look at they cut a guy the other day that I love, Griff Whalen. I mean,
they cut him?
Yeah,
he got a touchdown against the Riders in that game.
I remember watching that kid in Stanford and thinking, well, we probably won't see him. And Braverman, so funny. I went back to my notes from, I think it was the 2017, I had the Bears, and I had a really nice write-up on that kid. And, of course, he's on the practice roster now, but you just watch. He's a kid that could probably slide in there and be well. But anyway, what I'm saying is they've done such a good job. And, you know, it's a system. And Huff don't take any crap. I'll never forget I heard, you know, he was a guest coach with BC, and Damon was there. And he can control Damon pretty well. And Damon was...
no easy task.
Well, Damon's a fantastic athlete and all that, but he controlled Damon pretty well. And that's the kind of guy he is. He's just no nonsense. Let's go. Let's do it. And like I said, I respect him so much. And I'm sure Calgary people should be doing the same thing.
Well, I'll say this, and my good friend Jack has logged on from Calgary. He says, Huff runs this team just the same as a guy he watched firsthand, Bill Belichick. So if he's a Belichick clone, it's working for Huff. But there's a very good friend of mine who was a Stampeders coach for many years. He's living in Texas now. I mentioned him in the break. He says Calgary's gotten bored of the Stamps winning. He said winning gets boring after a while.
Granted. That's right.
They need a little adversity with their franchise. And can you imagine that even being a thing? My goodness, if we had that in Saskatchewan, we won so much that we got bored. It wouldn't happen.
No. It does happen.
Not here. Yeah, wouldn't know.
I know. I mean, Calgary cares most about the Flames. The Flames are the number one team, and the Stampeders are number two. And that's sort of too bad because the Stampeders have a much longer history and tradition in that city than the Flames have. I just wanted to make a quick comment. I'm sure Craig mm-hmm. will agree. Hufnagel knows the kind of players who do well in the CFL. Mm-hmm. He will have some guys will be a little bit smaller, but they're always quick. They're always fast. He knows what it takes to win in the big field, and it's amazing how he gets these quick little players sometimes that are just flying around the field with their speed. That's mm-hmm. that's really what I think he's really strong at, is assimilating from college in the States and NFL to the bigger field in the CFL. He knows exactly what he's doing there.
Well, along that line of thinking that winning's got boring and they've just got used to it in Calgary, they don't go to the games. So I guess along that line of thinking, Huff would have to leave because there's no signs they're going to start losing anytime soon.
Yeah.
Right. And look what happened when the Federick showed up in town.
Oh.
You know, because I've spent some time around Wally. He doesn't really want to talk about that era of his life. Like, Wally Buono was basically fired, right?
Yep.
I guess basically what I'm saying is, Calgary, you don't even know how good you have it.
Yeah.
You don't even know. And when that Federick ownership was there, he didn't fire Wally. You remember what happened? The owner, Michael Federick, gets boozed up at a cocktail party at Grey Cup and starts telling other teams that Wally's going to be available if you want to hire him. So what do you want to call that?
Yeah.
And then, of course, BC must have been the first team he talked to because they're like, we'll take him.
Yeah.
And Bobby Ackles had only been there for a year. Yeah. Bobby's just like, thank God, yeah. Wally's available.
Yeah.
You know, and it's yeah. like Wally, he doesn't put up with me. I think if we worked together, he would have, you know, thrown me out within a week. Because I said to Wally once, I was following up the stairs at McMahon Stadium, but he was with BC, it must have been Grey Cup or something. And I said, if you're going into the Hall of Fame, Wally, are you going in as a stamp or a lion? And he's like, I'm not answering that. He didn't even want to answer it. Would be, he loves them both equally.
Yeah.
Because he spent so much quality time with both.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't get what it would take in Calgary. They got bored of winning. Does that happen? Never happened in New England.
No, not at all. They just love it. They just keep on going. They're
right.
happy.
Six Super Bowls.
It's incredible.
Our owner got arrested doing what? Go Patriots!
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, they don't. Where does winning get boring? Like, no market wins consistently enough to get boring.
Yeah.
Other than New England and Calgary. Where else?
Well, it's crazy how people, you know, their predictions. And a lot of people predicting Calgary won't be in first place. Well, there we go again. Mm-hmm. We just all, you know, why are they underestimated? Unless Bull gets injured, why are they underestimated like that?
Yep.
They should be first place, as far as I'm concerned, and likely will be in first place.
So here come the Calgary people. Sorry to interrupt, but Conan writing in, a friend of mine, in Calgary, he says, name a city in Canada that has more than one pro team where the CFL is number one. There isn't one. It isn't a trait exclusive to Calgary. Fair enough. Fair enough.
How about Ottawa?
Ottawa, he just named one. You're done.
like the Red Bulls.
No, but I just say, thank you, Donnie. That's why I brought you lunch. But just Vancouver, you guys will remember this. And I don't feel like I'm that old. I'm 46, yet so many people don't remember BC Play Stadium, Riders Lions, era 2004-ish. Carl Kidd versus Roy Shivers. We got our GM trash talking their linebacker in the media. 55,000 people are at BC Place for a regular season game.
Yeah.
I remember walking out of BC Place with Carm going, man, if this is the NFL, what it's like, sign me up.
Yeah.
Because BC had 55,000 people. And in the early 90s, Skydome, we talked about this the other day, 52,000 people showing up every week to watch the Toronto Argonauts. And I've talked, you know, Chris Schultz, very good friend of mine, trying to get him on the show. He's not that technologically inclined. It's the only thing holding up Chris Schultz coming on. He can't figure out how to get his iPhone to work to do that video chat. But he talks about playing for Gretzky and McNall.
Yeah.
Like, what an era. Yeah. Rock stars.
Yeah.
You didn't tell me that'll never come back. I don't believe that'll never come back. Bob McGowan says that era will never come back, and I don't believe it.
I don't know.
It's a tough one. The soccer teams are, you know, in Montreal, Toronto, and Vancouver haven't helped the CFL. There's no question about it. And you look at the demographics, stadiums with the soccer teams, they're pretty strong.
I don't know what they have to do in order to help that situation. They won a Grey Cup. They've won two Grey Cups, you know, in 11 and in 2 years ago. and they just don't seem to be coming back out.
Well, one big juggernaut is the NFL. I mean,
yeah,
all the millennials, they're not playing CFL fantasy football. They're playing NFL fantasy football. Yeah. And the younger people,
Well, you know what, Donnie?
The NFL,
it's promotion and hype. Why are 20,000 people showing up to watch the Raptors on TV at Mosaic Stadium? Because they're getting swept up in the hype.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's why I think this show, whether the CFL and its teams want to believe it or not, will be the best thing for this league, because this is where the next generation of people are. They're watching their phones, their iPads, mm-hmm. and their computers. That's why this show is going to be so great. And I laugh the last time I looked at a message board that said Rod Peterson's demographic won't work on Facebook. How the hell do you know what my demographic is? My demographic's young to old. Just worry about yourself. We're doing fine. As far as who's watching, any kid under the age of 30 in this province doesn't know any other voice of the Riders but me. That's the truth. And not to mention all the other sports that I've been involved. We're fine. But would you rather appeal to the 40 to 80 demographic or the 20 to 40 demographic? I think I know. That's what we're doing here. Conan's saying the Sens are bigger than the Red Blacks. I respectfully disagree with you, Conan. And if you talk to anybody in Ottawa, which my friends are the sports guys in Ottawa, granted Red Blacks guys, but they will tell you that the Red Blacks are more popular in that town. Has a little to do with the downtown stadium-ish. You know where the stadium is in Ottawa. It's not downtown, but it's not far out of downtown.
Not at all. No.
Not like the 30 miles you got to drive to get to the Sens rink.
Yeah.
It's marketing. Thank you. It's marketing. I've said it a million times. Here's Jack in Calgary. Bingo. What's hurt the CFL, gentlemen, in my opinion, and, you know, tread carefully if you want. I'm not. But it's marketing for the last 20 years, and the CFL has really struggled.
And what's sad is I think there's this general perception that the athleticism and the talent you see in the CFL is somehow below par with some people, you know, looking at the NFL. There are such phenomenal, tremendous athletes in the CFL. It's incredible to watch. And the product, there's nothing wrong with the product, right, Craig?
I can speak firsthand. I've scouted the NFL since 2003. And I've gone in there. Of course, we're watching the bubble guys. But what it is this guy or this guy? Well, this guy makes it. We're going to possibly get this guy. So it's talent. I mean, these kids have been in NFL camps. Even like I had a hand in getting Ryan Smith here a couple of years ago.
And he was awesome.
Well, and he never had any NFL goes at all. I remember just scouting and watching him at NDSU and thinking, this is almost like a Dressler clone. It'd be nice to get.
He was a Dressler clone. What do you mean almost? Yeah. Like he is a Dressler clone.
And then when I found out he ran like a 4.42 or something like that at a pro day, I went, okay, we gotta. And then, you know, Brendan jumped on it, and we got him. But it's amazing how many. Well, these kids are athletes, and it's not like the way it was years ago where they taught school during the day, and then they went to practice afterwards. These guys are working 24 hours. Well, not you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, that's how it's changed.
Yeah.
Now, there's no time for a second job for CFL players, and yet the wages have not caught up to match that.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. Clark, if you can just tell me when we hit 11:30 in my ear. We haven't got the clock yet. Paul, can we get the clock? We'll sponsor it if we have to. Okay, 4 minutes to go. These guys got to leave at 11:30, so that's why I'm saying that. Are you doing the noon sports, Donnie?
No.
Okay. How can
probably
we miss
the noon sports. Why do I have to leave? I don't. But
I'm just teasing.
You don't want me here.
No,
I
do. But
you
want to? Smitty, Jonathan Jennings. I fell in love with him at IMG Academy in Bradenton, Florida, and the Riders did not. They did not see it. I'm so blessed to have been raised by an NHL scout because I know how you guys think. And so many times my dad would be at the kitchen table saying, "I put all this work into scout this guy and this guy and this guy, and they didn't want him." Right, Justin? He's just yelling at the walls, shaking his fist at clouds. You're the same.
There's a lot of frustration in this job.
Yeah.
A lot, because there's so many times when I've seen guys and wanted to have those guys there, and it just didn't happen. And, you know, you just, that's just the way it is, though. You know.
But Jennings, you loved
him. I watched Janice. I think his name is Jeff Janice. He's a receiver at Saginaw Valley. I watched his highlight tape. And number 10 was thrown on the football. And it was a long highlight tape. I mean, they put out quite something, you know. And I kept on looking, and I went, wow, look at that throw. Wow, look at that throw. And it just kept on coming, you know, like this guy's pretty good. Brendan, I like this guy. Can we get this guy there? So we got him to the Florida deal, and our coach didn't want him. And so then he went off, and he went to Seattle for a cup of coffee, and then he went to BC. But there was the frustration right there. And when you think of it, and he did pretty good that year.
In BC.
And we lost quarterbacks, and it would have been interesting to see if we would have had Jennings. You know, who knows? I mean,
I know. The prevailing feeling in the CFL is that Jennings plateaued in BC.
Yeah, well.
What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, he had that one really good year where he threw for a lot of yards, and then, you know, he hasn't quite been up to that.
Now, so, there's some reason the Riders weren't interested in him. I mean, whatever's happened, you know, in the last few years, the Riders really didn't go after him. They wanted Claros back. And
hey, Donnie, before you go on that topic, so Jeremy O'Day, I'm with you. This team's in great hands with Jeremy. Anybody that knows Jeremy knows that. But he did not inherit the team at a good spot. Like, there are fans saying this is a throwaway year. I don't believe there are throwaway years, but it's just he was so behind the eight ball when he took over this team, right, in terms of who knows what they were ready to offer Bo Levi and Mike Riley and all these guys. But then next year, 2020, is the Grey Cup year. Bo Levi and Riley, these guys are all locked up to long-term deals. Mm-hmm. That's where I think Jeremy's in a real bind, and it's not even his fault.
Well, no, it's not his fault. I'm going to make this little prediction. You know who's due to get injured? I know we're bringing back injuries. I don't hope it. I don't wish it. But, I mean, Riley's been very lucky with injuries out in B.C. Bo's been very lucky. Harris has got a bad knee. He's been lucky. They could really change the tide in the West if any of those players got injured. Again, I'm not hoping that. I'm just saying, you know what? These guys have been amazingly healthy. Well, and if that changes, then, wow, things can change.
Injuries are key, and quarterbacking is key. So it you know, those are critical issues, and hopefully, you know, your team goes through without injuries. And we, you know, we talked about it. We got that Darian injury, and that hurt us big time. So that's critical.
Gentlemen, I hope you've enjoyed coming on to talk sports and CFL today.
Yeah, much appreciated. Thank you so much.
You've got open invites, and keep the lines open. Dupes, in next, we're going to play a clip of the Kirby Dach interview, our web exclusive, the Saskatoon Blade star, primed to go in the top five of the NHL draft a week from Friday. In Vancouver, we're going to talk a little Raptors. Deron is having a Twitter meltdown this morning.
Oh, boy.
Going to talk about that and a whole lot more when we come back with Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com. So,
covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve
Maybe.
It. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Rod Peterson Show continues, Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com. Dupes with me back in studio. Give us a follow on Twitter. And if you're media that is reporting the scoop here, give us credit. Rod Peterson Show is where Kevin Glenn announced his retirement from the CFL right off the top of the show today. If you missed it, you can just, if you're watching on Facebook, just hit that little white bar and go all the way back to the start. That's where we started with Kevin Glenn. What else do we have? The Toronto Raptors and Golden State Warriors are set to return to the spotlight today. They're not playing, but after a travel day yesterday, both teams will face the media this afternoon at the NBA Finals in Oakland, California. The Raps lead the best of seven series 3-2, but are coming off a 106-105 loss in Toronto on Monday. Game 6 tomorrow in Oakland. Game 7, if necessary, goes Sunday in Toronto. Of course, the Riders kick off the season tomorrow night in Hamilton, 5 p.m. SAS time. The NBA game, 7 p.m. SAS time. They're going to show both games on the big screen at Mosaic Stadium Thursday night. I'm thinking I'm going to go, and they're expecting 20,000 at Mosaic Stadium, so that's awesome. The Boston Bruins hope for a repeat of 2011 tonight. The Bruins play host to the St. Louis Blues in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. It marks the first Game 7 in the NHL's Championship Series in 8 years. In 2011, the Bruins beat the Canucks in Vancouver in Game 7 to capture hockey's top prize. Our poll question today on our Twitter feed, at Rod Peterson Show. Who do you think will win tonight's Game 7? The St. Louis Blues are leading the poll results as we sit here today. Regarding our viewers, look, I understand some seniors are tech savvy, but the ones I'm talking to are not. The comment's gone here from Kerry. He says, come on, Roddy, I'm 62 and watching your show. Kudos. Can you tune in my family then? But the wonderful thing is we welcome Darren Dupont to the program. Was Kevin Glenn sitting in Detroit this morning. He's got this big announcement to make. And Kevin goes, where can people watch the show? And you had a very easy answer for him.
It was super easy. You watch it on Facebook anywhere, and I believe you don't even need a Facebook account because we have a public page. You just need the link, facebook.com/TheRodPetersonShow. Simple. And at rodpeterson.com, too, with the audio stream.
So listen live.
Listen live. It's great. It's easy, and I know we're getting comments from all the farmers. They have it right in their tractors. So I was chatting with a few last night.
That's big.
That's big. They love it. It's right there. I mean, tell me a day. I mean, they don't even have to drive the tractors. They're all automated. Tell me a tractor or vehicle where you can't plug your car in or your phone in now. And who's not doing that? It's amazing. It's easy, simple. If you got Bluetooth, great. If you don't, you just plug in the auxiliary cord and away you go. It's or your headphones or whatever. It's easy.
It's consumable in a variety of areas. This is all the things that Jeffrey Orridge talked about with the CFL. And now it's here and we're doing it. So hopefully it's apparently is appealing to the people that want it. Riders announced their depth chart for tomorrow's game in Hamilton. Brendan Labatt going to the 6-game injured list there. Oh, we got a graphic. Clark's telling me in my ear. Let's see the Rider depth chart for the football game Thursday night in Hamilton. There it goes. From the Riders today, you got Dan Clark at center. Mac Zimmer. I never even got to CFL 2.0 with Craig Smith and Don Hewitt. I'm going to have to ask them their
Clark,
thoughts on.
Can you blow that up on our screen?
Full screen?
Get rid of the comments for a second.
Then we can what do you need to know? What do you need to know, Darren? Maybe I can help you. I don't think they can. Oh, there you go.
Well, I like it. I mean, look at that front four to start with. We know the defense is going to be good. But that front four, when you got A.C. Leonard and Charleston Hughes on the outside and Micah Johnson and Zach Evans on the interior, that front four is going to take a lot of pressure off the rest of this group. And that's why I talk about starting on the road is so advantageous for the group, because if Zach Calero struggles to find his groove a little bit, this defense is going to keep them in the football game. And that's great. You want to give them time to get confident. And from what we've, you know, everything we've heard from Craig Dickinson and from, you know, the team is that he's the number one guy. There is no guy breathing down his neck. You know, Fajardo's not breathing down his neck. And that's a good thing for Zach because he can play loose, play free, and get into a rhythm. And that's awesome. And, you know, yeah, the receiving...
You can take it down now, Clark.
Receiving group needs to prove itself. I mean, Shaq Evans, KD Cannon still have to make sure they take a step. KD Cannon now getting a chance to start on the wide side with no Jordan Williams-Lambert in this group. But and for Watson, too, he's going to get his first chance to play with the Riders, you know, in his second stint. So that's exciting. I like where the group is at. I really do.
I want to just read a couple of Facebook comments from Travis Kuntz. Loving the show, watching from Vancouver. Looking forward to the beginning of the CFL season and seeing how this D can perform. Looks like Sac City on paper. That would be a great marketing term.
Hashtag.
Sac City. Can you imagine the posters and everything? That would be Sac City. Think about that. Bonnie Schaefer, who's my dad's first cousin. She's watching out of Fort Capel. She says, you're not a sports girl. Okay, hockey. Member, oh, you're a member of your family and 75 and watching. And who do I think of when you get wound up? Well, you're thinking of either my dad or your dad. But she says that I remind her very much of my father, who yesterday would have celebrated his 82nd birthday. It was the first June 11th in my lifetime that we haven't had the old guy around. So it was a tough one yesterday. Going through some family health stuff. This is my happy place today because I'm actually looking at the top of the clock going, when this is over, I got to jump back into that. It's been tough. And in a while, you'll understand why. Regarding the CFL, I got the odds here. Ticats are favored by 3 for Thursday's game, Riders and Ticats. For all you CFL fans tuning in across the land, the Montreal Alouettes and their rookie head coach, Kahari Jones, go into Edmonton on Friday Night Football. What? It's not a matter of if the Eskimos are favored. It's how much are they favored by? How much do you think the Eskimos are favored by?
I bet you they're favored by 14.
10.
10, okay.
It's double digits.
Yeah.
So you got that. Eskimos favored by 10 at Commonwealth Stadium. And then a Saturday doubleheader, the Ottawa Redblacks at the Calgary Stampeders. Stampeders favored by 8.5. And the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at BC Saturday night. I'm calling it Canada's Game of the Week. Lions are favored by 2. Obviously, I'm all hyped up and geeked up to watch the Rider game. But if there's another game that I'm at least as excited about, or maybe more excited about, is the Winnipeg Blue Bombers at the BC Lions. And I love both those clubs for different reasons. I do love them. I really do. BC is putting on Daron Carter. We're about to get another big name player of theirs to come on. We're just lining up times. So thank you, BC, for that. And the Bombers, after they came in here and beat the Riders in the preseason, wrote me the next morning and said, whatever you need, we're in, we're watching, it looks great. So, Paul Appelese, Richie Hall, my guys over there, I'm pulling for them too. But one thing we've learned about the CFL is we got friends. The whole league is connected.
That's what you want,
right?
You want to bring everybody together. We're not interested in bringing anybody down. If we want to build the tallest thing in town, we're not by bulldozing the rest of them and having our little building. Now we're the tallest. We want to build everybody up. The league is better when everybody's better, right? And when we start supporting everybody, that's what matters. And you've seen it in Calgary, I believe. Winning is boring when you become that, you know, it's that guaranteed or that, you know, routine. Routine is never a good thing. Routine is boring. You need some suspense. You need that doubt to create that emotion, that buy-in. And losing is great for a fan base. It's good.
Not sustained losing,
yeah. But losing is okay. You know, you've often told me this, that, you know, the hits on the website are great, but they're never as big as when the Riders are losing. And negative publicity is not always a good thing. We don't like hearing negative stuff because that's tough. It hurts our ego. But it's good because that means the fans care. And if they care when you're losing and they're mad when you're losing, they're going to be that much more excited when you're winning and they're going to buy that much more merchandise. Think about Leaf fans. Think about Rider fans. We're all the same.
That's why there's been a theme this week on the program about those Montreal Alouettes and the rant that I went on Monday and then, I guess, explained on Tuesday. And now here we are Wednesday and the Alouettes are in week one. Expected to lose by double digits and not even getting a chance to win in Montreal on Friday night. And you're pointing at me, you got something?
You know what? If I'm wanting to, you know, make something here, I might take those odds. on Montreal.
If you want to make some money.
If you want to make some money, that's not terrible. You got a change of coach. People are saying now the team has a chance to win some games now that Mike Sherman's gone. I've heard that. Kari Jones gets everybody fired up. They like him. They might win some games. There's still some talent on that roster. Look at Edmonton. Everybody's picking him to finish last. Well, they got worse at quarterback. Right, they haven't really improved significantly. Some spots on the defensive side I like, but there's an opportunity for Montreal to surprise the CFL, and I might take that 10 points.
That reminds me, by the way, I promised that I would give a shout out to Jason Fichter, who's watching from the Rider Prider fan page. I said I would do it right after the Kevin Glenn interview, and it slipped my mind. So, Jason, thanks for watching. Thanks for your support on your fan page, which last I looked has, I think, 30 to 35,000 members of a Rider fan page.
We're coming.
But, yeah, we're coming. We're coming. Not coming for you. We're coming with you. But just back to Montreal. I mean, every sports league's the same. And this is my belief, but they say that they want all teams propped up and you're only as strong as your weakest link. Yet in the back of their mind and in their boardrooms, they're like, well, we need one crappy team because we got to win. Right? For instance, the Brandon Wheat Kings and my good friend Kelly McCrimmon, who's probably watching from this morning down in Vegas, I think wanted the Parkers to own the Pats forever. Forever! It was like a guaranteed playoff spot. Why? We want that weak team in the division. We say we don't, but I don't think the owners really do. And I guess that might be unfair to Kelly because I don't think Kelly owned the team at the time. Maybe it was Bob Cornell, the owner. But you know what I mean. They want you to do well, but not too well because we got to do better. I guess that's my better way of explaining how the ownership looks at teams across these leagues. That's my feel. But back to any potential criticism that we face with this program or I face individually when I leave these studios, it doesn't bother me at all. As my good friend Frank Stanici says, the Argos podcaster, say whatever you want about me, just spell my name right. Because I know who I am. I know my intentions are right. I know I'm a good person. So I don't care what anybody else says. And I just don't think the Alouettes know what they are. And I would hope that the CFL knows what they are as a league, but I'm not sure they know what they are. And as we said way back last week, when you have a great product, but people don't know about it, that's a marketing problem.
Mm-hmm.
And the CFL has always been a tremendous product, and it still is. We're not sitting here complaining about the rules or the games or the talent.
No.
It's a great product. More people need to know about it.
Yeah, it's outstanding.
Quick couple things. Do we have another commercial break, Clark? Oh. Okay, now we get into the down and dirty stuff when we come back. For overtime.
Okay.
The notes that I didn't get to that I wanted to on the program today. We'll be right back. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Building a deeper connection with our fans by putting them in the show. It's a new era of sports talk. The Rod Peterson Show airs from 10 to noon, Monday to Friday on Facebook Live. Join the conversation today and tune in. Online, on your phone, at home, at work, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter. And subscribe on YouTube for all the content you want to watch. Don't wait, do it right now.
Your economic security does not lie in your job. It lies in your power to produce, to think, to learn, to create, to adapt. That is true financial independence. It's not merely having wealth. It's having the power to produce wealth. We are your power to produce wealth. We are your freedom to make your dreams your reality. We are your shield against uncertainty. We are your family's protector when you no longer can be. We are your assurance that the light you see at the end of the tunnel isn't a train. We are comfort, clarity, and peace of mind. We are your financial guardian angel. We are 2020 Wealth Management. We are all these things and more. And we welcome you. Come see us and prosper.
You see them everywhere. Those awesomely massive decals around the city? Yep, that's Sleek. Those sweet-looking graphics on businesses, buses, and billboards? Sleek, sleek, sleek. Basically, if you want to go big, you go with Sleek Signs. Sleeksigns.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, hey. I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right. Rod Peterson Show continues. Now all the media across the country is asking me for how to get a hold of Kevin Glenn. So don't mind me as I go through my Rolodex. Gold right here, Jerry, gold. The Stanley Cup champion will be crowned tonight when the St. Louis Blues and Boston Bruins face off in Game 7. Boston forced the deciding game at TD Garden with a 5-1 road victory over St. Louis on Sunday. Bruins 7-5 at home during the playoffs. One more day of prep for the Raptors and Golden State Warriors. The NBA final resumes tomorrow night in Oakland, California. The Raptors lead the best of seven series 3-2, but the Warriors earned a 106-105 win in Toronto on Monday night. 20,000 anticipated at Mosaic Stadium tomorrow night to watch on the big screens. Riders at Ticats, followed by Raptors at Golden State Warriors. And the biggest news of the day, Kevin Glenn announcing on this show his retirement from the CFL after 18 Hall of Fame seasons. It came on his 40th birthday. I've been thinking a lot about the Raptors. Their merchandise sales will just be, I can't even imagine. Like, I'm not joking, $500,000 a day, maybe more. Riders at the peak were doing $100,000 a day. 08, 09, 10 era.
Yeah.
Probably half, maybe $1 million a day across this country in merchandise sales. And so if you want to know how to market, we talked about this last night on that meeting over there on the sponsor's couch. How do you market? What's the best way to market? W-I-N. But not everybody can win. Not every team can win. So when you're not winning, you'd better be out in your market, shaking hands, doing community appearances, doing all the right things. So when the day comes that you do win, perfect storm, which is what happens with the Raptors. It's what happened with the Rough Riders, 07, 2013. That's how you do it.
It's really tough because on the one hand, you know, you've got your calculations done and every new customer has a price. So if it costs $1.35 to get a new customer, it costs $6 or it costs 75 cents or whatever it is in your business, food, restaurants, clothing, merchandise, whatever, radio, this show on Facebook. But it's tough because we want to market to the people with the money, the people who are 20, but more likely 30, 40, 50, and 60 years old. They've got the money to spend. But if we don't market to the young generations, that's how you build the nice connection. Think about when you fell in love with the team, or you fell in love with hockey, or I fell in love with the Riders, or the Leafs. It's when I'm a kid, and they keep making you fall in love with it, and that's how you build that sustained brand. And now that I'm an adult, I want to spend all my money on the gear.
Well, on that vein, I want to read a Facebook comment here from Cliff Hanselman. Good friend, Cliff. Say hi to your boy Colby for me, Cliff. It's good family. He says, don't forget the All Rider fan page, the largest Rider fan only page there is. Thank you, Cliff, and thanks for your support. I'll be expecting a shout out for this show. These guys on the other side of this wall.
We can hear them laughing.
I hear them laughing like Jekylls on the other side of the wall. From Stephen Corman, he's Captain Harvey. He says, Captain Harvey, Rider loves the show. And it just slipped off the screen. Thanks, Captain Harvey. I saw you on the screen at the game the other night. He's the guy dressed like a pirate. I was sitting beside you. That's Captain Harvey.
And we've had him on In the Huddle, and we've had great chats over the years.
Conan Daly writes in, Darren looks great in red. Hey, Conan in Calgary, better dead than red. Troy Koser, that's just a saying. Don't get mad at me, Calgary. From Troy, hey, Roddy and Dupes, just got out of hospital again. Glad I'm getting to catch the last segment. I'm 8 out of 8. Love the show. That's right. We're in overtime.
You know,
our final
need?
Segment of the show.
We're going to get Rod Peterson Show bingo cards. Watch for a full week. How many shows? He's 8 for 8.
Stamp it. Bing, 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 bing.
And we'll have a special code or something we'll put out on the show randomly, and you got to put it in your little bingo
card. I'm actually glad that you brought that up because my phone's going off with questions from my friends. Some people I don't know, but people that follow me saying, where do we get the mugs? Where do we get the stickers? Are you going to do T-shirts? Like in my past role, my old job, they didn't want to do that stuff. So it just died with me. You can answer those questions because we're going to do merchandise for the Rod Peterson Show.
Oh, well, sure we are. It's already in order. Been talking to the suppliers, actually, yesterday. I'm told 2 weeks. We're 2 weeks out. The store is built. It'll be up at rodpeterson.com, the merch shop. And we're going to get out in the community, too, at events. I believe, do you want to say?
No, say it.
Rider Game Days?
Yeah.
With your friends at the Armory. I know they're big supporters of yours, and you're big supporters of them. It's a great relationship that we're starting, and we're now going to build that with the Rod Peterson Show. So we'll be there. You'll be able to get your all your Rod Peterson Show merchandise. We're going to start with the mugs. I know there's been great demand for the stickers. I know they're already up in some of the mines on the toolboxes and things like that. They're on the Bull Riders. So we've got a whole bunch more of those stickers coming in. We've got mugs coming in as well. And then, of course, the merchandise is going to roll. And I believe you might even be able to get these Rod Peterson Show bottles of water that you got up on your
desk. Emerald Water.
From Emerald Water.
Oh, that'd be good, too.
So great partner. You'll be able to get your water, do all that stuff, and at the little party with the Armory.
What makes me very confident is the guys that are watching at the Naval Base right now, I'm coming over after the show. Thank you for reminding me that.
Good.
They got something for me there. And at the last Rider game, the one soldier that we're a photo taken with him. I think you took the photo.
Yep.
I said, what are we entitled here for space if we came and did an event? He goes, this whole lawn. The soldier said that. So I know there's people that don't like me, but I know who does like me. The Army, the Air Force, and the Navy.
Good guys to have in
They're behind me. So I'm okay. They're my guys.
If we ever really have to go to war, then we got
literally.
We got the right group behind
and
us.
And we're with them, most importantly. Supper conversation last night in the Peterson House. You've been there for a few of those supper conversations. We literally have a supper around the table. And it was talking about the Rider jerseys at the Raptors game. 2 days after the game, I guess it was the day after the game, we're still talking about the guys in the front row at the Raptors. Well, they weren't the front row, but, you know, our poll yesterday, 55% said there's nothing wrong with wearing Rider jerseys to games that the Riders aren't playing in. And I would have voted the same. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. But prepare for abuse. So here's the, just from people going, the Riders aren't playing and that stuff. That's embarrassing. I saw all this stuff. So my wife, daughter's there. And my wife's like, well, maybe they can't afford jerseys. You know, jerseys are expensive. And I'm like, they're in row three at game five of the NBA Finals.
$23,000 for those tickets is what the estimated value was.
I'm thinking they can afford the jerseys if they're paying $23,000. Or wait a minute, maybe they can't afford the jerseys because that's all the money they have. I think they could fork out $2,000 for a Raptors jersey. Those guys were making a statement. That's what they were doing.
Oh, yeah.
And that's great. And I was thinking, then my mind gets going, and I'm thinking about Larry Mueller when he was marketing the Riders in the 80s and 90s. Larry would have found out who those guys were and brought him in to kick off a ball at a football game. Like Dick Assman era. Like, I don't think you're old enough to remember. You are?
Oh, yeah.
Larry was the guy behind that.
Wow.
You know, that's the kind of stuff they used to do. So much fun. Larry would have done that. Craig Monroe, he wants a Rod Peterson Show polo. Can we get a polo? From Under Armour? This is the first day, by the way, that I haven't worn Under Armour.
You're not sponsored by Under Armour.
No, it's a Reebok day. Every day is a good Reebok day. What else did I have written down? Did you watch Deron's Twitter meltdown this morning? You've been busy doing business. You're like Brewster's Millions. You're in the business of being in business.
But I was.
You don't have time to be surfing Twitter.
I was watching, and then I was pulling it up during the commercial break. And he was going on one a few days ago about the combine. But yeah, this morning it was a back and forth. And was it about the Rider fans when he left and the community? And
just it's an all out meltdown.
Yeah.
By Deron Carter on Twitter. And this is why anybody that watched our web exclusive interview last week with Deron, when I told him I loved him, I love him. And he knows that I love him. And it's not fake love. That's because Deron and I are so similar. Deron's his own worst enemy. And if I thought he would listen to me, I would say, just put the phone down, Deron. But he can't help himself. And what he was saying was, those Raptor fans that cheered Kevin Durant for getting hurt and then immediately felt bad and cheered him walking off the court. He's like, that's what I've been dealing with in Canada my whole time. It's fake. People. Mm-hmm. And that's what's got people going, snapping. Woohoo. And that's why I said way back in segment one, when Kevin Glenn broke his arm in the East Final in 2007, I pumped my fist momentarily and then felt bad immediately after. So I could call the Toronto people stupid for doing it. Then I would have to be calling myself stupid for doing that back then. And maybe I was stupid for doing that back then. But it was immediate reacting before you thought.
Yeah. But there's also so many other things happening at that time. It's a basketball game. It's the NBA championship. First of all, did you see Durant when he went and his Achilles went and he falls backwards? What did he do? He lost the ball. It's a turnover. And a turnover in a big stage.
And they're cheering.
You're
going to
cheer. And it was a fast break layup the other way. Also a reason to celebrate. So for 75% of the fans who are cheering, they're probably cheering because they're watching the game and they want to see, you know, they're cheering for the turnover.
That's like, you know what you're saying? That's like when they showed Chris Jones on the Jumbotron at a Pats game and the crowd booed. It was in the WHL final 2 years ago and people are saying, well, at the same time, there was a hit from behind by a Seattle player. So the booing and that happened at the same time. That's what you're saying,
a
right?
A little bit,
and we'll
yeah.
never know
you never
for
know,
sure what it
but
was.
But it's a mix. It's not everybody on one thing and it's not always black and white.
Well, it's got people talking.
But it does.
This one did. And but
yes.
Just back to Duran for a second. He's saying TSN tried to run him out of the league. Then he got Farhan Lalji going back at Duran saying, what are you talking about? I called you the face of the league. And I felt like texting Farhan and going, just let him go. Just stop. Don't engage him. Because again, Duran and I got, how could a white farm kid from Saskatchewan and a black receiver from Fort Lauderdale have so much in common? Yet we do. And I just want to say, and I have said to Duran, you're your own worst enemy, because I was my own. And I shouldn't probably say was. I probably still am. So I went off and started my own show, and it's going really well. Duran can't go off and start his own team.
No.
Or league.
No.
So unfortunately, it's like, at what point do the BC Lions get tired of this? Because every team's gotten tired of this.
They will be okay with it if they're selling tickets and Duran's performing. But unfortunately, the second that doesn't happen, then you get in a situation where, okay, it's not worth it anymore. The babysitting. And Chris Jones went
Absolutely.
Through that and decided, okay, it's not worth it anymore. Right? It doesn't matter. We don't even need to trade him. We just need to get rid of it.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, if he's performing, though, and he's fired up, that's good for the league. It's good for Duran. It's good for BC. But when you're that type of guy, it's good when it's good. But when it's bad, there's no room for you.
I'll tell you a wild story. And I'm not comparing my life as it pertains to recovery to Duran's. But you mentioned that he needed a babysitter. And he didn't really need a babysitter, but he did need to meet with a coach every morning. For me, they're like the recovery people. That's recovery from addiction and mental health have said, you need to talk. It would be great if you talked a little more recovery on your show. And I'm like, well, people don't really find that as exciting as they do sports. But I'll say this. My first year in recovery, I needed a companion with me. They hired one. And it was embarrassing for me that I needed somebody traveling with me. But you know what? I needed it. When you're so early in recovery, it was 1 year people were traveling with me to make sure I didn't get in trouble. And then once a year passes, you knock off the training wheels or spread your wings and whoosh, away you go. But it takes a while.
Sure it does.
It does. So that, I'm not complaining Duran's issues with mine, but to say that somebody needs a babysitter, I get it, because I did. And probably still do at times. But they're telling us we got to go off the air. From Montreal, this is from Clark, before we go off the air. Haley says, Duran has a career. Were you saying I don't? You're watching right now. This is my career. Am I reading that wrong?
I'm not sure.
What are you talking about, Haley? This from Clark. Montreal businessman Clifford Stark has made an amended offer to the CFL to purchase the Alouettes, as per Dan Ralph of the Canadian Press. We cite our sources on the Rod Peterson Show, Clark's telling me to say. Stop. Stop with anybody other than Eric Lapointe.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why we're farting around with any other name than Eric Lapointe. And Dan Ralph doesn't screw around with his sources and stuff. I'm sure Dan's right. But all this is, it's fake news. It's like Trudeau gone off. You know, you had to explain to me this thing about the drink boxes the other day because I don't follow the news. That's not even news. This isn't news. Oh, and Haley just wrote, LOL, I deserve that. Yes, you do. Duran has a career and I don't. I think my career is going just great. And I'm pulling for Deron. That's how we started all this, is Deron, just put the phone down. See, people are going to immediately say that I was trashing Deron and stuff, right? That'll be what's next. And I'm trying to help the guy. Put the phone down. But that's BC's issue, not mine. What are they telling me? Oh, here she goes. Let's try again. Deron has a music career. Yeah. Have you listened to his music?
I have not.
I'm a big hip-hop fan. That's what I have
you
on.
You listen to it then, obviously? All the,
I haven't listened to Deron's,
yeah,
but I should. I talked about our family supper. Kaylee said to me, because she said to mention her name on the show. She says...
Of course.
She said, do you think Mom has a problem with our music? Because we both love hip-hop music. And I guess I should download Deron's song and listen to it, and we'll give a review tomorrow.
We would get, so if we play, just for people to know, we've got our music, it's royalty free and everything else, and it's for this show. The music we've got on the show is for this show. But if we wanted to play a track that
he
you
could
would
let
hear,
us?
If you would, a track from that you'd hear on the radio, a song you like, because we've had suggestions. You should play this song. You should play that song. We would be shut down within seconds. Facebook would shut us down. They've got such algorithms around copyrighted materials. We'd be shut down. Now, with Deron's music, I don't know if we would get to play it.
But
it could be an experiment to find out if Facebook shuts our feed
really
down.
I don't really want to go off air that badly. But anyways, a shout out to Ambassador Coffee. Our coffee provider, our set design furnished by Source Office Furniture in Regina. I think we are over time here. We are by 4 minutes. Just allow me 60 seconds to say, Don Hewitt sat in that chair from CTV Regina. He said, people are talking about the show, but they wish it was a prime time show. They would be better for them at 6 o'clock at night. I said, Don, they can watch it at 6 o'clock at night, or they can listen to it at 6 o'clock at night. The 10 to noon is by design. Everybody's loving the 10 to noon. That's where our peak listeners are for sure, right? On the online stream.
Yep.
But you can go back and watch the video stream on Facebook and anytime, day or night. And Clark's telling me to plug our YouTube channel. That's the one thing we need, is to get our subscribers up on YouTube.
Let's do it.
So go to YouTube, hit search, and subscribe to the Rod Peterson Show channel. All the best clips are posted there on a daily basis. It'll be Champions Thursday tomorrow. I believe Curtis Hunt, the general manager of the Prince Albert Raiders, is bringing in the WHL Championship trophy.
Big day.
Clark's saying that there's no trophy. Well, I'm saying that there will be a trophy. PA, get that trophy down here in the next 24 hours, please. Huntsy for sure.
Let's get it.
That's the most important thing. Benny Hebert, Meat, is bringing in the Tankard Trophy from the Kevin Cooey Championship team. And, of course, it's Rider Game Day. We'll be talking about that. We got a roll. We're out. See you tomorrow on Facebook Live and rodpeterson.com.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com. Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms.